In this episode of Bear Podcast,
dealing with the masculine power bottom,
Star Trek / Green Lantern crossover,
drinks for 11,
5 ways the Indiana anti-gay law made things better for gays,
HIV testing on your smartphone,
and 11 things guys secretly do with their penises.
All this and more coming up next. Bear Podcast 562. Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip cards against humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to episode 562, and it's a Tuesday, April 7th.
That's right,
April 2015.
7th. Happy belated Easter.
Yes, happy
Easter. Happy belated Easter, everyone. Belated Easter. Celebrates holiday. So. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And we had a great celebration last weekend, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you were somewhere else last week because we didn't do a show.
Yeah, we did that. Oh, yeah. I should tell you guys that last week, sorry about that, he posted on Facebook.
But somebody had to go on vacation.
Yeah, I had to go on vacation. So I was in Costa Rica for a week. And we left Saturday and came back last Saturday. Two Saturdays ago and just came back last Saturday. And we were there in Manuel Antonio. And it's a planned trip that we had.
Yeah. How gay-friendly is Costa Rica?
It's very gay-friendly. They don't really care. Whoever is going to be there, we stayed it's called Hotel Villa Roca. It's a gay resort. It's a gay resort. They had this nice pool.
Clothing optional.
Actually, the Europeans who were staying there were clothing optional, but most of the locals there who were there, they were wearing
them.
It was okay. I mean, I guess it's clothing. Yeah, it is clothing optional, okay. But. Only two people or three people opted for.
Yeah, so Mike wasn't running around naked.
Oh no, he wasn't. Okay. Actually, that's the point. In Costa Rica, it's a what do you call this? For bears who like chasers, it's really heaven for them. It's gonna be heaven for you if you're gonna be there.
Like I love good Costa Rica.
Yeah, so we were there, and Mike is the only bear. Yeah, of course, everybody's Mike's eye candy.
Yeah, you know,
these Latinos and everything. So yeah. That was good. Oh, I forgot to talk about the gay bars there. But anyway, so really quick. If you see a picture here, yeah, here's a picture. If you're watching the video, I have a picture posted here. I did parasailing.
With a purple pedicure.
Yep, I had a pedicure. Thanks to Masons and Montrose. So yeah, we were there. I did parasailing and we did snorkeling. That was fun.
Yeah.
Mike didn't go parasailing. He was too scared.
Too scared.
Yeah.
Too scared, like that creature from Jurassic Park's gonna jump up and eat him, like in the previews.
Yeah.
So we Great did White Shark says, "Ooh, dinner,
dinner, dinner! Wow, it's a big one over there. It's a big bear." Yeah. So we did that and snorkeling, of course, and then we did zip lining. And I did mention before when we were talking earlier, the longest there was, I think, it was a quarter mile. And that was really fun.
But did you Superman?
I did not do Superman.
No Superman.
Like Divergent. We didn't do something like they did in Divergent. But I wish I did. That's another canopy tour that provides that, the Superman. But ours is just you strap on as in you're just sitting down.
On.
Yeah, we just strap on. Or you're doing under.
So you're pegging Mike?
Yes, on the zip line.
On the zip line, okay.
And then. You would either sit down or you hang upside down. They can do that too, but we didn't do that.
Could they put your butt plug in and hang you from that?
That's right, yes. Okay. We're only hanging our sphincter is the only one keeping us alive. That's right.
Some of them bitches be dead.
Anyway, so while we were doing that, there were these squirrel monkeys running, jumping around from branch to branch,
yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And then we also did some rappelling. When we were done, we had to rappel down from a tree,
yeah,
which is about two stories high, and there was this girl who was really scared.
Just kick her out.
Yeah, he was crying. She was bawling.
I don't care. Bye, Felicia.
But she survived. You know, she was able to do the zip lining, but then when it comes to rappelling, she couldn't do it. But then she survived that. That was a lot of fun. And then we went to, what is it? We went to San Jose. Uh-huh. Went to San Jose. So that was in Manuel Antonio. And then we went to San Jose Friday, the last evening. We went there and we... I saw a procession. Yeah. It was a in front of a church. We were walking around. We saw this their fences around it. And then we were wondering, something's going to happen. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Good Friday today. Oh, that's right. Good Friday. It was Good Friday. Everything was closed. And the only ones that are open were KFC, Burger King, McDonald's, Quiznos, Subway.
You could have done that here.
Yeah, I know. But, of course, we have no choice but to eat somewhere there in one of the restaurants there. Anyway, so we did that. And like I said, there was a procession. It was really interesting because it reminded me of home. Because every Good Friday in the Philippines, we would have these processions or these Passion of the Christ reenactments. But this one, they did something different. They there was this marching band, a brass band. And there were these Roman soldiers coming out of the church in uniform. Roman soldiers. And then there was these guys, maybe they're Knights of Columbus or something. And then from the back, something came out from the procession. There was these women carrying this big statue of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
And in front of the Virgin Mary was this angel, was a little kid wearing angel wings. And then later on, from the church, there was this glass coffin coming out. They were carrying it. And then out came Christ inside the glass coffin, and they did marched out of the church, and then it's really interesting. Just taking videos of it is really nice. So we did that, and then it's funny because after doing that, oh my God, this is so holy. We just saw a procession, and then we went to the gay bar. Oh my God, Ray, the gay bar there. Of course, there were these drag queens.
Yeah, there's always drag queens.
Of course, there's always drag queens whenever we go to these places. And then this drag queen sang some, lip synced some Adele and some Madonna, I think. I can't remember. Yeah, she was singing and everything. But that was the English part.
Yeah.
And then she would start speaking in Spanish, so I don't understand anymore with the microphone. Some drag queens would be with the microphone, they don't let go of it.
Yeah.
This one's a drag queen all throughout speaking in Spanish. And won't let go of the microphone. So that was kind of entertaining. And then later on the main entertainment came out about five go-go boys with nothing on except their shoes, because it was cold inside the bar.
That's right. Cold inside the bar. You can't have cold feet.
Yeah, get cold feet. But then, that's the only garment they have, and they were dancing, flopping around, their big dicks and everything. I think they were pumping. It looks like they were pumping at the back.
Did you go up and do close inspection, wrap
the thought all around it? No, I did not. How do you do that? How do you give them money? You can't strap it on a thong or anything. You just give it to them?
Stick in the crack of their ass.
That's not going to hold.
I guarantee you, if it's a $5 bill, then bitches will hold on to it.
I would imagine you put it in their shoelaces or in their shoe, because that's the only thing that you can really. But anyway, so they were all out. I mean, in Texas, you can't do that.
No, you have to be clothed to a certain extent.
Yeah. In New Orleans, I think you can be nude.
I think they're,
in some bars. But then, it was just interesting because they did that and, of course, Mike was in heaven, Oh, my God. It's so much eye candy. So, yeah, we did that. And then the next day, we flew back, Saturday. And then we went to Dave's party.
That's right. Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Dave. Not yet. Yeah, they're coming up.
So, Dave turned, 46, 47?
48.
Oh, Dave's 48.
Yeah, that's right.
48.
So, yeah, happy birthday, Dave.
Jason's 32?
30.
Oh, my God, Dave. You're such a cradle robber.
Yeah, we're just kidding. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Anyway, so we
that's Miss Thang in the kitchen on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, this picture, yeah. This is the only apps was it Apple Store they could get into. Yeah, if you're watching the video, you saw the pictures. But yeah, we went there at the down the street. It's in the Montrose area. So no, not Montrose area, but it's in the Heights. We were there. It was fun.
Yeah,
it's a good bar, and most of our friends are there. And some of our friends are there. You weren't able to make it.
No, Robbie was sick this weekend. He got the bronchitis. And we didn't have time for that. Yeah, we took him to the emergency clinic and got him some medication. And then we had to fight with insurance to get the medication approved. And then we got the medication. And then he got taken it. So by Easter Sunday, he was feeling better because the stuff had started breaking up, kicking in the antibiotics.
Why do you have to go to emergency? You can go to just a simple urgent care. Like
Walgreens. Well, that's what it was, urgent care.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's good. He's on his way to recovery. It will take a couple of days.
He's feeling much better today after the antibiotics had kicked in and
he sounded
all
okay.
That stuff had broke up out of his chest. So.
Yeah, he just needed antibiotics. So yeah, it was Easter last Sunday, so...
That's right. You came over.
We came over at Ray's.
Had the whole O'Donnell clan over and a couple other people, and we cooked. Let's see.
Oh my God, it was a feast.
It was a feast. Well, see, Robbie's family is from up north, so they do lamb. For everything.
Okay.
I'm from the South. We do ham for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they made some lamb. I made some ham. And then we made some dishes that went in together. Yeah, we went with both of them and we were set. So we had macaroni and cheese, green bean casserole.
Oh.
And then one thing I changed that I've been wanting to try for a couple of years, thanks to Robert Kahn and his Scottish heritage, I made Scottish eggs.
So describe to us what a Scottish egg is.
You basically boil an egg, shell it. And then you wrap it in sausage, and then you egg it, and then you roll it in breadcrumbs, and then you deep fry it.
Wow. That really is awesome.
And it was pretty awesome. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good. It's the second time I've ever tried Scottish eggs. The first time was, Ray said, went to a Scottish celebration of... our friend Robert's 50th birthday, and they had that. I was able to try that, and Ray made it. Wow.
It's pretty good. I liked it a lot. So
it's really good.
I'll probably be doing those again sometime.
Yeah.
I think if you're going out traveling and stuff, that'd be great too because you can just – because they store well because they're already cooked.
Yeah.
You can just put them in something, kind of keep them cool, and then take them out and eat them while you're walking and stuff. So.
You just reminded me. That's kind of similar to a Filipino embutido because – but we use pork. And we put a boiled egg. Wait a second. I should talk to Mike about this.
Yeah.
Because he was complaining, saying, we have a Filipino meatloaf with egg inside. But the Scottish egg is the same.
Yeah,
pretty it's much. Similar. It's got it's really a meatloaf with, with an egg inside. Yeah, okay. So that was a lot of fun. Just chatting and everything. We had a very good discussion when we were there with Robbie. And we're talking about... books and everything. There are a couple of things that Robbie mentioned, but I want to check out myself.
We watched Gandhi.
Yeah, Gandhi. Yeah,
Saturday Night. Book, yeah. Which is a long ass movie, but it's an incredible movie, mm-hmm. and it's based on the book. And Robbie actually read the book, so and it's just amazing that what he did back then, we still got that crazy crap going on now. So it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So
that's right. Okay, so that's pretty much our weekend update. We can go to our topics now. We have so many things for this show for you guys.
That's right. Okay. Our topic is, and I'm just going to put this out there. I'm a masculine power bottom. Deal with it. Not me. This is what the guy in the article says.
I can isolate that. You know that.
Yeah. You better not. So. But you know, that's the whole thing. This is what this guy's talking about is, you know, people like to stereotype people, whether it's your bottom or top and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of, people use being a power bottom kind of as a demeaning thing. And I don't think it is. I mean, we joke about it.
Yeah.
Oh. But I don't, and it's kind of a bullying thing in the gay community, but I don't really.
No, it isn't really.
Personally, I don't think it is. But, you know, I'll pick at somebody about being a power bottom.
Yeah, it comes to a, what? I'm power versatile. Power versus yeah, it comes to a point that it's a stereotype also that if you're really masculine, you got to be a top. If you're kind of feminine, you're a bottom. You know, but I've met some people before who are tops, but then you know they're very effeminate. But then there are some guys who are really, you know, big guys who I know that they really say that they are. Yeah.
I'll read the first part of the article and then we can talk about it some.
Okay.
Just because you're masculine doesn't mean you're a top. I'm a 33-year-old gay man living in New York City. I'm a mechanic, live in a bachelor-sized apartment, drive a motorcycle, and work out 6 times a week. If you look at me, you think I'm straight as they come, or so I'm told. But the thing is, despite what you see, I break the stereotype. I'm a power bottom, and a damn good one, too. When I moved to the city 20 years ago, I was shocked at the reception I got from men. I grew up in South Carolina, where masculinity bled in the water supply. I've always been attracted to men of the feminine persuasion, not just because they were a breath of fresh air, but because I assume we belong together. My personality is a bit hard, making it difficult for gay guys to approach me, something I'm still working on today. As an adolescent, I was never able to recognize a gay man when I saw one, which made me gravitate towards feminine guys.
So he likes feminine guys because he would think that they're tops? I don't know.
Let's see. Well, let's see. That's the whole thing here. Here's the whole thing. Masculinity and femininity have nothing to do with sexual roles and everything to do with how we place ourselves on the construct of society. Yes, I'm masculine. Does that mean I know how to be a good husband or boyfriend or father? Absolutely not. Why then is it deemed more attractive than other qualities? If you ask me, it all comes back to sex. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying is that, you know, I'm all the stereotypical butch macho dude stuff, but I'm a power bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
And that power bottom's always been associated as being the feminine.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. Instead of the masculine. Yeah, like I was describing earlier.
Well, the straight people assume that it's.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. So some of the straight people. And also, when it comes to race, also, if it's especially the rice and potatoes guys.
Yeah.
If it's a white guy and an Asian guy, they immediately assume that the Asian guy is a power bottom or the bottom.
They're not?
They're not all the time. Oh. No. Okay, so also, how do you recognize? How do you, there are ways that you could recognize one though. You can.
What, a power top or a power bottom?
Yes. Or simply a top or a bottom.
I don't know because everybody keeps confusing me that I'm a bottom.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because it never failed. If I saw a guy that I was attracted to, he turned out to be a top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So then, oh.
And it's just like, well, nice talking to you.
Yeah. Okay. So something that I learned for many years now, and maybe some of you guys know already too, is about their tattoos. Usually if it's on the left, you know, those tribal ones, if it's on the left, they're tops. If it's on the right, they're bottoms. And there was one time I met someone who you know also, and we have funny stories about him before too, about condoms in their ass. Anyway, so I was talking to him. He would just really outright say, I'm a power bottom. Yeah, because look at my tattoo. It's on the right side. My tribal tattoos, my barbed wire.
Yeah.
Tattoos on the right side. That means him.
Well, I always used to like that on the hookup apps. My profile said top, and some guy said, "Oh, I really want to fuck you. I bet you're tight bottom." And I'm like, "Delete,
block."
Bitch can't read. Can't got time for that.
But yeah, it's going back to the article. It's really just about not all masculine guys are tops. I guess.
Well, no. I mean, I think it's that we categorize guys that are, if you're this one way, this is what you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're masculine, you're butch, you're top. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case.
Also, what about dick size too? People would think that if you have a 9-inch dick, you're a top.
Yeah. But from experience, they're mostly bottoms, so versatile, which means bottom.
Which means bottom. Oh, that's right. I was talking about it earlier. Yeah. If your profile says you're a top, you could top, but you could probably bottom too.
Yeah.
In reality, I
always notice in the profiles if it said top versatile, they'd always bottom.
They would bottom. Okay. Yeah. So top. If you say you're a top, you're usually you can probably bottom. If you're a versatile, you would really bottom more. Yeah. If you say. But if you say in your profile that you're a bottom, you really are a bottom, okay? Right? Just you're a power bottom if you're going to be writing that in your profile. So yeah, I mean that's what I see sometimes in profiles too.
Yeah. So let us know. Or do you think that you're masculine and a power bottom, or you're effeminate and a power bottom? Or?
Are you kind of effeminate and you're a power top? Maybe. Yeah, that's.
We'll get you a hot muscle dude in New York City.
Right. We can hook you up. No, I don't know how to contact you. Interesting. Okay, let's go to entertainment.
Entertainment. Okay.
Okay. This is.
This is kind of geeky, but go ahead. You can read it.
I really like the idea. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's posted by. I think it's posted by. It's in the Gay Geek Bazaar Facebook page by Caesar. Thank you, Caesar.
Posted this, yes.
So. There's going to be a Star Trek Green Lantern comics crossover this July. I think I'll buy that.
That'd Did you awesome. Hear that, folks? Star Trek.
Oh, Star Trek, yeah.
And Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. I should have worn the Green Lantern shirt. I have a Green Lantern shirt. Yeah, so, yeah, before I continue with the article, Ray gave me this shirt. It's in memoriam for Leonard Nimoy that he died... a few weeks ago, or last month.
And these are supposed to be here weeks ago, and they screwed them up, and it took extra weeks getting here. So, and then this one went on vacation.
So. Oh, yeah, that's right. So we couldn't wear it in the meantime. So anyway, back to Star Trek Green Lantern comics. So two of geek fiction's most hot-headed spacefaring heroes will be boldly going in the blackest night this summer when James Kirk, Hal Jordan, and their respective entourages cross paths this summer. So announced today, when was it? A couple of weeks ago. It was announced by Comics IDW and DC. The iconic universes will be crashing into each other in a series called Star Trek / Green Lantern, The Spectrum War. Written by Mike Johnson and drawn by Angel Hernandez. Sounds Filipino. Mm-hmm. The six-month offering will feature the Abrams era version of the Enterprise crew meeting up with the Green Lantern mythos. Mainstay, Hal Jordan, and the Green Lantern Corps. So you're going to see Kilowog. You're going to see who else?
We hope.
I can't remember. Kilowog is the only one I could remember. So now all Star Trek fans can watch their favorite USS Enterprise crew members meet Hal Jordan and the entire Green Lantern Corps in an adventure that spans space, time, and all the colors of the spectrum.
Because there are multiple dimensions.
So that's the
Remember the one that they did in Star Trek where it was opposite is the mirror universe.
Yeah,
where Kirk and them were the bad people and the Federation was bad. They were more like the Klingons and vice versa.
Oh, that's right. And the only thing you can differentiate them from is their mustaches or something.
That's
like
right.
That. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So it's set in the Star Trek 23rd century. The balance of the universe will be tested when the Green Lantern Corps power rings come into the possession of certain Star Trek characters while a dark and powerful evil looms around every corner. Only the combined power of the Green Lantern Corps and the Federation stand any chance by stopping those who worship evil's might. So, that's exciting.
So that's exciting, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one. So it's going to be in the summer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one is kind of a movie review here for us. This futuristic homoerotic Thai movie looks totally gorgeous.
Did you watch this?
I watched the trailer for it. It was interesting.
Okay.
Here's what got me though, because I saw Supernatural and I was talking about the Winchester brothers, but it was a different Supernatural. Here's the first trailer for Supernatural, a science fiction movie about a future Thailand. It's full of beautiful men falling in love with each other, but also a strange future in which all of reality is up for grabs because the realm has created version 2.0. The distributor TLA Releasing calls the movie futuristic, experimental, homoerotic with elements of a political essay, and is currently showing it in festivals ahead of the theatrical release later this year. Here's a synopsis of the film. In a futuristic world, the Thai kingdom has been transformed by the leader into a realm of people who have done good deeds and earned merits. It is a nice place to be, even though the inhabitants are plagued by infallible nostalgia. In the old days, people could at least touch each other. Although the realm has reached version 2.0, technical possibilities remain limited. This wonderful story of the future is interwoven with stories set in the present and past. According to Penn's better work, known for his independently produced and taboo-breaking documentaries on homosexuality and politics. And I just screwed that name way up. So his first feature is science fiction, yet it's about today's Thailand. For instance, he criticized the need for religion and superstition. But in the end, this very idiosyncratic, homoerotically charged essay is about above all about time. Time influences everything. The past has to do with the present, and the present is linked to the future. So it looked like an interesting trailer. So
okay, so
there's a lot of very good-looking Thai actors and models in it. So
That's right. It's interesting. I should be. Yeah, we should check that out when it comes out in the theaters.
Cool.
Okay.
If it comes out, it'll probably go directly to DVD.
Or straight to streaming.
Streaming, yeah.
Or Netflix or something.
Netflix. So.
Do they still do that? Or if you
find it on a BitTorrent site, call me.
No. No, don't. We do not condone piracy. Unless you pay for it.
Arr.
Yeah, so do you think movies still go straight to DVD?
Well,
or Blu-ray?
Well, I think a lot of foreign movies do. I noticed that Netflix is picking up a lot of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And some other mediums like that, or where you can just go buy them offline and watch them and stuff, or Amazon and stuff like that. So, and I think eventually some of the foreign films that probably can't be released in a theater or wouldn't make it outside of a festival usually go there, where you can buy them and watch them. So,
yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about some events right now. Actually,
it's Big Gary's event.
Big Gary's event. So, Dress Fur 11, Pop Goes the 80s. It's April 9 to 12. 2015 in Erie, Pennsylvania. I say that here it's our 11th year here in Erie, Pennsylvania, hosting hundreds of men for a fun weekend of relaxation and enjoyable activities. We're proud to be once again having our exclusive after-hours indoor water park event at Splash Lagoon, one of the country's top 10 water park resorts. It is really nice there. And for this year, we're going retro with our Pop Goes the 80s theme for the Bear Run weekend. It's going to be totally awesome. And for more info on the run, events, hotel, and registration, go to the website at drenchfur.com. So,
Gary, do you really remember the 80s? Because I don't think you're that old.
Yeah. And what's with the hair? Have you seen his hair? He's growing it long.
I don't know. I don't remember long hair.
I saw the video, his video, his update for Drench for his really long hair. Yeah. Well, I've been seeing his pictures, yeah. What's with the long hair, Gary?
Girl, what you doing?
So yeah, it's going to be a weekend. I wanted to go, but then we had this Costa Rica trip. And
if you haven't gone and you're close by, go. It's an exciting weekend. It's a lot of fun. A lot of great guys.
You can drive
the water park's awesome. So,
yeah, it's really fun, and of course, Devin and Jay are going to be there.
Yeah, Devin and Jay.
So, of course, Dave and Jason are going to be there too. So,
yeah,
it's good for them.
Gary puts on a great party. So,
yeah, great job. You really, really works hard, and still the hair. I'm sorry. Okay,
he said it.
I said it. Sorry,
remember,
sorry.
Said it.
It's just it's a new look for Gary, for me.
Yeah.
So yeah. So again, it's if you want to check it out, go to drenchfur.com. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay, we got two gays for you this week, just like Maynard me, except he's a power bottom. Anyway,
what?
This is my favorite headline that came across Facebook this past week. Brian Fischner's latest fantasy, gay people as slave masters forcing Christians to perform involuntary labor.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thoughts of that got rolled through my mind.
Sounds hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, pretty much everyone, except for Jeb Bush and a few other rogue conservatives, now agrees that Indiana's religious freedom bill signed by Governor Mike Pence 1 week ago today is totally discriminatory and draconian and awful. At least one person is standing up for it. Any guess as to who? That's right, the AFA's resident closeted case homophobe, Brian Fischner. The conservative radio host, who loves nothing more than talking about men having sex with other men, took to the airwaves yesterday to speak in favor of Indiana's law, claiming that, wait for it, forcing Christians to serve gay people is tantamount to slavery. Yes, slavery. Fischer is very unhappy with Governor Pence for announcing this week that how he... Hay feels the bill needs to be rewritten to eliminate any language that grants business owners the right to deny service to gay people. I'm afraid Governor Pence is dangerously close to allowing the homosexual lobby to get the state of Indiana to compel people to provide labor against their will. Fischer babbled, what do we call it when people are compelled to provide labor against their will? Involuntary labor. What do we call that, ladies and gentlemen? That involuntary servitude. That is slavery. That is something that is forbidden by the 13th Amendment.
But I thought some people like that. You know, there's a master and slave.
Well, that's a whole different scenario.
That's a different leather scene.
A whole different scenario. No. But I look at, you know, here's the way I look at that whole Indiana law. If your business is good enough that you can refuse people service, go for it.
Yeah, but
if
then...
If you're making money hand over fist and there are certain people you don't want to serve, right to refuse service to you. Goodbye.
You know, I was in... Yeah, I was out of town when this blew up.
Yeah.
And all I can do really is read about it all over in Facebook and news and Huffington Post and everything. And my God, this law is really wreaking havoc. I understand that it is just discriminatory. It really is. But then I think there's some people who went overboard, though. If it's really true that they said that they're sending death threats and stuff like that, that's probably too much. I mean, you gotta attack this using peace, you know, and understanding, and but you know, trashing them by name or giving them insulting them, and what is it? What did they do? They posted a lot of hate words in on their Yelp.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with their pizza.
Yeah,
yeah. I believe some gay people or some people who support the GLBT community kind of went overboard in that one. Mm-hmm. I think.
I don't know. I always look at it as a businessman. I think you should be able to have the right to refuse service, like a bar. You have the right to refuse service to anybody that you don't want to service. But I look at it this way: if you got that kind of money and you're making that kind of business and you can refuse people, eventually it'll come back to bite you in the butt.
Yeah. It should at least be the same way in Oklahoma. We talked about it sometime one episode ago. I can't remember which one. We're in this one of the senators, I think, made. They had a similar language, but then she proposed an amendment to it that if you are going to
discriminate,
if you're going to use refuse service. Because you are strongly opposed to it because of your religion, you should post it. You should be public about it. You should tell everyone why you're not. You can't just say, "I'm going to refuse anyone if it violates my religious beliefs." Yeah. You can't just say that. You just should really say, "If you are Asian or if you are Black or if you are gay, you have to post it. Say it, you know, no gays, no service. You have to post that." I mean, that was in Oklahoma. If they did something, the same thing in Indiana, that would be great. Yeah. Because,
well, see, I think all this bullshit kind of went overboard. I think if, like with the whole cake company, the gay couple went in to see if they would do their wedding cake. All that person had to do was say, "You know what? I'm overbooked. I can't do your cake." Mm-hmm. But I can recommend somebody who probably could. Because there's other caterers, got to be other caterers around. I mean, you don't have to say, "Oh my God, you're gay, I can't do this." Mm-hmm. "You're impinging on my Christian belief." I mean, it's just called common courtesy. Because you know what? That gay couple might not use you, but they might have a bunch of straight friends that got away and say, "Oh, I saw their cakes and we went there and we did this and they did a great job." Mm-hmm. On other people's cakes. They couldn't do ours because they were too busy. But
so you're saying they're kind of not... They flaunted it. They flaunted it that they really discriminate.
Yeah. I mean, people do stupid business practices. That's why a lot of people go out of business. Small businesses fail because people don't know what the hell they're doing and don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. But about that the pizza parlor?
But look what happened to the pizza parlor because they published all that crap. They've got an $800,000 funded campaign that they've got money for.
Yeah. And it's all because of some media whore. It was supported by Glenn Beck.
And let me tell you what, if you want pizza at your fucking gay wedding, I guarantee you Domino's and Pizza Hut would deliver for you.
Yeah, definitely. without.
You don't have to worry about some little pizza joint.
Mm-hmm. Or a mom and pop.
And if that's what you're doing for your wedding buffet, you ain't gay.
You're not gay.
You ain't gay, Blanche. You ain't.
Yeah, so it's really sad that... So do you think those people who sent those money to that pizza parlor, you know, those GoFundMe, do you think it's... I don't know. Those people are hateful, or there's people?
Well, no, there are a lot of people that said, hey, I'm Christian, I believe in supporting you because you're standing up for your beliefs. But there's also some gay people that donated, said, I'm embarrassed by what gay people have done.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they're being just as hateful as you are. And so she sent them $10 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There were some gay people who support them. Yeah. They're respecting what they did, but it is discriminatory. They don't like gay people, so okay. But then, I don't know. It's double-edged. I mean,
I grew up in the South, so there was always that double-edged sort of you're white and black and whole thing. And I mean, the movie theater in town. If you went upstairs, if you could get up there, there were still signs for white water fountain, black water fountain, that kind of.
Really?
Yeah. There's. Colored folk signs for colored folks in the back of the balcony, and the white folks can sit in the front of the balcony, and
wow,
all that kind of stuff. But that was the way it was when that movie theater was built.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a movie theater anymore; they've gutted it and turned it into stores. But you used to be able to go out there and still see some of that stuff.
Wow.
But I mean, it's still. I mean, if it gets down to where people are refusing service because you're white or black or gay and stuff, how long do you really think businesses? If that much hate is going to go there and support that business, let them go to it. Go somewhere that loves you. I mean, life's too damn short to worry about the hate. Go for the love.
Yeah. Wow. Such words of wisdom from Ray. Okay. So I'm sure you guys have been hearing about that story, everything about the Indiana thing. And I guess people have to move on, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, so... okay, so let's go with the next one on the gay. 5 ways that Indiana's anti-gay law. We're talking about it again. Yeah. We're going to go back to it again. Sorry, it's in the list. Sorry.
Did you not read the notes?
I did, but I forgot. 5 ways that Indiana's anti-gay law actually made things better for us. Oh, here are 5 ways that the landscape is now changed thanks to the bad motives of Indiana legislators. So 1, non-discrimination protections are now on the floor, not the ceiling. Getting a non-discrimination bill passed in a state like Indiana was always an uphill battle. Now it's a given in the media, and actually that is really good. They kind of really fucked up on that law, so they had to do some fixes.
Yeah.
So now it's a given in the media that the national conversation that the lack of workplace and housing protections is considered an oversight at minimum and more likely a scandal. There's no need to justify the need for protections. It's the absence of them that needs justification. So even, number 2, even homophobes have to prove they aren't discriminating. Really? Okay. That's why Indiana Republicans had to insert language, as absurd it may be, that explicitly states that the religious freedom law can't be used to deny services. It's a subtle, you can't use religious freedom that way. It's a subtle but major shift. The need to swear you never intended to discriminate against LGBT citizens. In the past, no one would have felt obliged to say as much, even as lip service. Of course, let's not forget that this discrimination was the whole point of the bill in the first place. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, number 3, the special rights rhetoric. It's dead, yeah. For the longest time, granting the LGBT any kind of protection was termed special rights. Which really, it's not special rights, it's equal rights.
Yeah.
No one used that rhetoric this time around. If anything, the Indiana law looked suspiciously like special rights for the religious right, which of course it was. Yeah, that's right, it's the other way around. You know, the religious ones are having the special rights. Okay, so number 4, North Dakota. I just read this recently, and it was really awesome. Just to prove how much the landscape changed in just a week, North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple felt the need to send a memo to the state office saying that government discrimination against anyone is illegal. Dalrymple is trying to hold back a push-up by Democrats. I think he's Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a Republican, and he's saying this. So he's trying to hold back a push for an executive order specific to protecting the LGBT community. It's possible to imagine having that debate in North Dakota just a few weeks ago. And number five, big businesses have spoken with one voice. Apple, Walmart, Salesforce, Angie's List, Lilly, Cummins. Array of corporations that came out against the Indiana law non-discrimination protections proved once and for all that big business is firmly in favor of LGBT rights. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's lots of companies right now, even Apple. Apple is one of them. So you can argue, of course, that it's all about image and protecting themselves against financial fallout. But corporations don't throw their political weight around lightly. It's one thing to sign a letter in favor of marriage equality. It's another to lean on a political ally in advance, the way Walmart did with Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. So we'll be feeling the ripple effect of the Indiana law for a long time. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's happening in Arkansas right now.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to come up in the presidential election.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you see what happens.
Because the nutcases that have already thrown the hat in are already like, ooh.
And, of course, the candidates like Ted Cruz and who else? Santorum. Mm-hmm. Ron Paul. Ron Paul. And I think they are supporting the Indiana law.
Yeah.
And many of the many other opponents are against it. So, okay.
Would you like to take the first one in the geek?
All right.
Two for geek this week too.
All right. Okay. So geek. Let's go to geek. I think we should split this, right? Don't you think? Meaning, you know, get an account. HBO Now is live on Apple devices. Yes. So HBO's cable-free streaming service, HBO Now, is available right this very second in Apple TV, iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. HBO says in a press release, interested cable cutters can see sign-up instructions and access HBO on desktops. The service is exclusive to Apple devices for 90 days and costs $15 a month. Remember the new season of Game of Thrones launches in about a few days? 5 days?
Actually, 4 days now.
4 days now?
3 days by the time the show comes out, I think.
So if HBO Now's exclusively deal with the Apple sounds as restrictive as a Dothraki barbershop, that's only because it is. Yeah, I'm excited about it because it is a way for people who do not have cable, who want to watch
Game of Thrones. I don't want to pay the cost premium for HBO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it is more expensive if you get HBO because you have to have a cable. Yeah.
You have that HBO package and it shoots up your bill every month.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Big time.
You know, I should do that.
Because it's like HBO Cinemax, blah, blah, blah.
You know what? I should do that. I should really cancel that, cancel that package and just get the online one. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be probably saving $25 and then just spending $15. I'll be saving $10 or something. Yeah. We'll see. So what do you guys think? Are you getting? Are you trying?
Oh, yes. I gotta watch Game of Thrones. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, that's right. You gotta see the Khaleesi.
The Khaleesi. That's right. Okay. Smartphone accessory puts HIV diagnosis in doctors' pockets. People living in far-flung locations, especially in developing nations, could always use affordable tests for various diseases that enable remote diagnostics. Take, for instance, this new two-part biosensing platform developed by a team of scientists from Florida Atlantic University, which can detect E. coli, strep, and even HIV with just a drop of the patient's blood. We say two-part because it's comprised of a cheap, thin, flexible film, and two, a smartphone app. Each film detects a different disease, which it identifies from the patient's blood. And the bacteria or virus being tested for is present, the blood gets dyed a different color by nanoparticles. If a testing center doesn't have anyone qualified to diagnose diseases, personnel can take pictures of the test results and send them to medical professionals anywhere in the world via the app. These pros can compare the results against control samples through the app as well. Researchers believe the technology could be adapted to diagnose more illnesses or even test for pathogens in food and water. For now, you can read about what the team has accomplished and the work that went into the platform and scientific report.
It's almost like a tricorder.
That's what I was saying. The version of the tricorder is here, baby. I'd say it. It's here.
It's almost there. But right now, for sensing it, yeah, you need a drop of blood or drop of water or whatever. Yeah. So you can test it that way. I mean, that's a good it's an advancement. It's now portable. You can be a walking tester. Yeah. Anyone can be. I mean, I'm sure there's some licensing that you have to do. But still, do you think Planned Parenthood would be doing it or something?
I don't know. If it comes out cheaper and it's easier to test that way, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because now they have the quick test things. Mm-hmm. So if these strips are cheaper than the quick test things, if they can be developed and the software there, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, what's good about it is you're using also software, because anything that is running on a program. But then maybe
with that, with the blood, you could test for HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, the whole thing while you're staying there, and you don't have to have the sample sent off and come back and okay, you can go get treated right now.
Either that, also you can also have it as a home kit. You can just order it,
maybe,
and you have the app on your phone.
That's right,
and
just trick, come over. I need some blood, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Before we have sex, let me have some of your blood. Let's do some testing.
We gotta do some testing.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Eventually, it'll be like, oh no, bitch.
Oh no,
you got the itchy scratchy. Goodbye.
Or if it has hookups on Grindr or Growler, you can do that, and then it would test it and everything. That would be awesome. And then, I don't know. This is the screen.
Interesting. So,
yeah, HIV testing hooked. Oh God! I already thought of something. Okay. I need to patent that.
But what would be even better for me, who's diabetic and has to test their blood all the time? Instead of having to carry that tester around, I could just carry a little thing with strips around and put them on my phone.
But do you need that attachment for it? Yeah, but still,
it's better than carrying around that little deal.
Plus, what's good about it, you have a history. Yeah, you can record it in your phone. Just
you can transmit directly to my doctor. To the doctor.
It's like creating logs on your phone.
And eventually, maybe it'll be able to test a whole bunch of different little things at the same time. Like basic health information, like is your blood sugar,
iron, yeah, mm-hmm.
Detecting cancer
keep
cells.
It cheap. It's gonna be should be a cheap. But then, let's say I'm probably predicting in the next 5 years is gonna be what you just said, that you can test at home, you can buy these kits, and you can use just your phone.
Yeah.
Right now, you have your Apple Watches and your smartwatches that actually have hookups, then they can test your blood pressure and it's got sensors already, stuff like that. And it's hooked up to your phone and your app, and you could see some diagnostics pretty much. You're actually creating logs of your
health,
right? you, yesterday, you could look at your logs, and you can actually see your activities and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, these apps are just really advancing, and also the smartwatches, and
it's just going to keep getting better. Mm-hmm. We hope. Okay, let's see the bizarre.
Let's go into bizarre.
All right, Maynard.
Okay, well, I'll turn it on this one. So, 11 things that guys secretly do with their penises. Let's see if one of these is what you guys have done before. I'm guessing probably 9 of these 11 or 8 of these 11, one of you guys have done it, I'm sure. Okay, so number one, to bend it to its extreme point. A flaccid penis is basically like having a slinky in your pants.
Yes.
You've done it?
Yeah.
I may have done it. Yeah, I may have, yeah. But to the point that I don't
flip it down, flip it up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I've done it. I've done it before.
Flip in reverse. Sit.
Okay, stretch it. Number two, stretch it.
We have pulled it until it hurt. Just see how far it can go. It's not like we decide it's time to do penis stretches whenever we're alone. But we've attempted this once. Yes.
Yes, I've tried that before. Yeah.
It's like, why won't you grow longer? Why won't you go bigger?
With the thinking that if you stretch it, you'll get longer. Okay. Yeah. All right, number three, Ray.
Three is flick it. It's pretty funny to flick an erection. Alternatively, bend it back to our stomachs and let it spring forward.
What do you mean flick it? It's not doing with your finger.
Well, no, it's like you're hard and you laying down, you take it and you push it.
Oh, that's kind of flick it.
Yeah,
and then it enters your to your when I do that and then let it flick over to my nipples. Yeah, so
Okay. Number four. Try and fit it in things.
No, I
don't. If you have a penis, you're going to see what it does, and more importantly, doesn't fit into. Paper towel rolls, wide mouth, Snapple bottles, etc. The less it can fit into, the better you feel.
Paper towels, no. Snapple bottles, no. I've never done any of those. But, you know, fleshlight.
Even as a kid, you just put it in the vacuum cleaner and let it suck it.
No, I don't remember doing that, no. I'm pretty vanilla, I guess. You've done it before with bottles? No. And you got stuck?
No.
You had to break the bottle? No. Okay.
They didn't have those big mouth bottles back then.
Okay. Make a hot dog with our balls. I don't have that big balls. I can't do that. You can wrap your balls onto either side of your penis. And it basically forms a genital hot dog. Yeah, this is funny, sis.
It's funny when you got more buns than dog.
I should ask my friends. Yeah, I should ask people about that if they've done it. So, okay. Number six, Ray.
Measure it. Is it impossible to have a penis without taking a tape measure to it? We need to know the number.
I've measured it.
And then it comes to, do you measure it from the base on the front or from where it attaches in the back or whatever? Or do you come up with some Craigslist complication that makes it 8 to 12 inches?
I used to do it from the back, from the bottom. From where it meets the balls at the bottom.
See, power bottom. You're always about the bottom, aren't
you? So, where do you think it should be measured? From the base of the penis on the balls?
Oh, no, I read somewhere. We talked about this on one episode. There's this whole thing of exactly where you're supposed to measure it from, and that gives you your inches.
So, where do you you obviously have done it before. Where do you measure it? Where did you measure it before?
Well, I went all the way from my asshole out, so I got 12 inches.
Which asshole? Okay, so number seven, just hold it ever so gently. Yeah, of course, I've done it. All the time, just walking around the house, doing chores and holding
pretty
our penis.
Pretty penis, soft penis, nice penis.
Little ball of fur.
Little balls of fur.
Little balls of fur. Holding our penis while driving. Not illegal. Really? Pretty much everything we can do with one hand, we'll use the other hand to hold our penis. Yes. Yeah, I've done it. Yeah, sure.
And some guys do it unconsciously. I've sit there and seen guys just sit there and just kind of keep playing with it. And you're in a meeting or something. And it's just like.
You've seen people touch themselves during a meeting?
Well, like meetings and stuff. Like you got some of these places and they're like then the guy's just sitting there and like. And you're talking and doing stuff. And you just watch them in the meeting. And they keep touching themselves.
Oh.
I touch myself. No.
Maybe they have the itchy scratchy. Yeah.
So number eight, tuck it behind your legs.
Yes.
Now we're a lady.
Yes, I've done that. You know that scene in
Tuck, baby. It's all about the RuPaul.
You've seen that in
All Shade, No Tea.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
You remember the guy was doing that and then dancing?
Yeah. We always see pictures of guys online that have like tucked it and it looks like they got a vagina because they're standing there like this little skinny little.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah.
So, number nine, Maynard, number nine.
Try and put it in our butt. Yes. I try so hard. So, just to see if we can. We don't, like, actually want to do it, okay? So,
but there are plenty of photos and videos of guys doing that to themselves.
That's right. They're actually fucking themselves. So, you can actually say that, you know. Can your dick reach your butt?
No.
When you say yes. Can your dick reach your butt? Yes. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's right. So,
okay.
Look into it. Do I have to go into more detail here?
What is it? You open the pee hole?
Like you're going to see something.
Really?
I remember as a kid, I used to do that all the time.
I do that in the shower. Every time.
Oh, you're just trying to make sure there ain't nothing crawling out of it.
Well, yeah. I thought the article meant it's, you know, you're looking at the pee hole or something.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Oh, looking down in the pee hole, yeah.
They're looking in the pee hole.
Like something's going to come
into
out.
It. Oh, okay.
Are you looking into it and then you pee on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And you try to dodge your head out of the way.
Okay, the last one, Ray.
Move it without using our hands. With a lot of focus and a raging erection, we can make it dance around. It's surprisingly exhausting, though.
Okay, so, who hasn't done that? Probably you've done that. Many have done that with erections. How about
Maynard's probably going to do all these tonight after I leave.
Yeah. got to go in the mirror, do all these things. Yeah, I would say, what did I do? Wait. About moving without using your hands. Ray, have you done the helicopter?
No.
No?
I don't think I've ever done it. Maybe joking around. Helicopter, helicopter, helicopter.
Okay. No. All right. Yeah, I've done it. I've done the helicopter. You have to be kind of coordinated.
You have to be a shower, not a grower to do that one.
Okay. So let me see. One, two. All of these I've done except... wait. See, 9 out of 11. See, I didn't do the, I couldn't do the make a hot dog with our balls, and I've never done the try to fit in.
That's because he's still waiting for his balls to drop.
Yeah, that's right. You know, what do you mean? What are you saying? Uh-huh. So, are you, what do you mean? Well, my balls need to drop?
Yeah, well, this week we have a couple birthdays.
Oh, okay, we're moving like, on. Okay.
Oh, that's you and Mike. That's not Dave.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's not Dave. Where's Dave?
It's coming up soon, I guess.
Where's Dave? Oh, my God. There's everybody but Dave.
Wait, he's got a picture there. Oh, there's Dave.
There's Dave.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Also, happy birthday to Michael in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And who? Oh, and farewell, Jeremy. Hope.
Jeremy's moving.
Jeremy's moving. Good luck on your new life. Because I think he's moving because he has a boyfriend.
Oh, he does?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, moving to Denver. Oh, there's Dave. Happy birthday, Dave.
Dave
and Jason. Okay. Yeah, sorry. If you're watching the video, you'll be seeing it.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that's it for the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, all the articles we talked about and some of the stuff. And like I said, I feel sorry that I could not go to Drenchford this year because I already had a trip last week. So. Yeah.
But Gary, you can cut him a lock of your hair and send to him, and he'll be
yes,
okay.
Please. When you cut your hair, he'll probably cut his hair after Drenchford.
Maybe it's one of those like sports things where you don't change anything until the event's over with because you're scared to screw everything up.
Like baseball. They don't shave their beards because they're on a winning streak.
Yeah,
and then they don't.
Shave Gary's their like beards. Everything's going perfect this year. I'm not touching, shaving. Cutting anything.
He's not manscaping.
Right.
At all. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so okay, that's it, everyone, for that's it for the show. I mean, and thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voice message at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Leave us a voice message, and we'd love to play them on the show if you just call us.
Yeah. Tell us about our fisheye lens here.
That's right. Tell us. Yeah. Or tell us, out of the 11 things, what all have you done?
Oh, yeah. What have you done to those 11 things?
And are you a masculine power bottom?
Uh-huh.
Or an effeminate power top?
Effeminate power top. Tell us about it.
That's okay. Right. Let us know your stories.
Yes. And you can subscribe via iTunes, YouTube, and Vimeo. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and... Bear Radio Network, and you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear. Podcast your ass. Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear. Podcast your ass. Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.